When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sing it, Hugh.
What time? Okay, let me see what time it is. I want to be. Okay, hey, we got Ross coming
we
up, don't
we? We do have Ross Tucker. All right, let's get to our next guest, Ross Tucker. Follow him on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. We don't even know we're going to catch up with Ross this week. We're excited to. After, well, what was a different kind of game, our first Eagles loss in a couple months, and we're yelling about it today. Ross, how you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Joe. How are you?
Well, I've been better. I mean, we kind of forgot how to do this, Ross.
It's been a long time, man.
Yeah, so we're yelling and screaming today. Ross, let's unpack what happened yesterday. And obviously the Jalen Hurts injury changed the game. It changed the way they played. But it was kind of uncharacteristic, the other things that happened. The defense faltered. Special teams was not good yesterday. And they had some, you know, undisciplined moments. So there's just a lot of stuff in that game yesterday with the Eagles, Ross.
It was a wild game, you know, and I know nobody listening looks at it this way, but if you weren't a fan of either one of those teams, that was like one of the best games of the year. I mean, you know, just because all of the swings and the turns back and forth. It's funny because I was doing a game for CBS, Titans-Colts, so as soon as that game was over, I pull up the Eagles on my phone and I watch the end of it. And then I go back and I watch the whole thing, you know, last night to watch every snap. But that was a wild game. And yeah, I would say it was surprising how many uncharacteristic things happened to the Eagles. I was thinking about this. Like, they have been led by their running game and their defense. And that is exactly what let them down in the game. I mean, I know a lot of people are talking about.
Wait a minute, could you say that? I know you're about to rewind it, but could you say that again? What happened in this game, Ross, from your expert analysis?
Right, the strength of the team, the thing that makes the Eagles unique and has been the reason why they went on the 10-game winning streak, has been the running game and the defense, and those two things let them down. For the last three quarters.
Wait a minute,
of the
before
game.
You say anything, let that air that out for a minute. Let people hear that the defense and the running game.
Because
let them
Ross,
down.
There's
yesterday.
Been a lot of conversation today. That there's a sentiment out there that Pickett's like the reason it all went wrong yesterday, or he, you know, that's the biggest thing. And obviously, losing your starting quarterback changes the game. Ross, how did you think Pickett played? I thought he was fine. Like, they scored 26 points with him in. I didn't expect a lot. But I also didn't think he came in there and just destroyed their chances to win. In fact, I mean, if Devontae catches the ball, I think we're all saying today, hey, he did his job. They won the game with Kenny Pickett. What did you think of Pickett's play yesterday in particular?
Well, that's a really good point. And I want everyone to think about this. If Devontae catches that pass and the Eagles win, what's everybody saying about Pickett today? He got it done, man. He came in, and you know what? It wasn't always perfect, and he threw a bad pick, but that, you know, he was ready for the moment. He got us the win we needed. I think most of the listeners are smarter than that. I think most of the listeners are smart enough to realize, don't just put it on the quarterback, especially when it's the backup quarterback. Do I think they would have won the game with Hurts? Yeah, of course I think they would have won the game with Hurts. So does that make it okay that the defense is just leaving Zaccheaus uncovered when they had 12 guys on the field, or that the kickoff coverage unit was that bad, or that they couldn't run the ball really a lick after the first quarter? No, it doesn't. And that, look, Jalen Hurts is going to come back. I mean, maybe he misses this week. I have no idea. But Jalen Hurts is going to be back for the playoffs. So the quarterback thing is almost not even worth talking about. What's worth talking about is what the heck happened to the defense and what the heck happened to the running game.
So let's unpack the running game part, Ross, because that is interesting, because yesterday we had a chance to see what it looked like without Jalen, and we know he adds an element and defenses have to account for that. Now, there's two ways to look at this. I'd say down to down, it was far less successful. There were far more negatives or one-yard runs, but there also was the 68-yarder. So it depends on how you look at the picture, because Saquon's numbers with Pickett in there were just, they were very good, but obviously it was mostly unsuccessful with one huge run. What did you think of why the running game was stymied a lot of those times?
Yeah, I didn't think they blocked very well. And I know I heard Olsen and those guys talking about the fact that they went more single high safety and they stacked the box. I don't care. You know, yesterday I'm doing that other game and Matt Ryan comes on and he does an update and he says that the Lions have the best O-line in the league. I said, whoa, Matt, you're from Philly. You can't be saying the Lions have the best O-line in the league. I did not think yesterday that the Eagles' offensive line played to their standard. Yes, Hurts helps a lot with his ability to run. Yes, you know, they probably were more focused on the run with Pickett in there. I really don't care. I don't care that it's single high safety. I don't care that they had an extra guy in the box. There were too many negative yardage runs, loss yardage runs. You know, usually this year with Saquon, they've been getting him to the line of scrimmage clean, and because of his size-speed combo, it usually is at least 3 to 5 yards. It was really negatively affecting these series when he's like losing 2 yards, getting hit in the backfield. You know, the Eagles are supposed to be the bullies, not the other team, and they were not in this game.
Ross Tucker with us here. Ross, where do you come down on CJ GJ and how much they need to try to coach him through his emotions? Like yesterday he got thrown out of the game, and I understand that play. If you look at the replay, you can't even tell like what he did. He got shoved, but he said something obviously that caused the ejection, plus the one he had before that. Ross, I love the energy he plays with. Everywhere he goes, he wins. But sometimes you watch the Eagles, and it's him. Jalen Carter tends to, you know, do stuff after a play or in the middle of a play. And I wonder about their composure in big moments. I don't want to take that away from them, but I also don't want penalties in big moments next month.
It's a fair question. And what I am hopeful for, I'm like almost glad that this happened, right? I'd like to think that not only Gardner Johnson, but his teammates, now that this happened, will be on high alert to not let it happen again, and to a lesser extent with Jalen Carter. Now, Jalen Carter is an absolute dog, and the fact that he plays like that, that's why he's as good as he is. So you don't want him to lose that edge. It's funny because he's like on a scale of 1 to 10. He's like a 9. And I feel like Jordan Davis, when I watch Jordan Davis play, that Jordan Davis is like a 2 or a 3. It would be perfect if Jalen Carter could give like 1 or 2 of those to Jordan Davis so he doesn't get the penalties, but he gets Jordan Davis to have a little bit more of that dog in him. I think it's a positive. Last week what happened with Jalen Carter hitting Hayward's brother in the head on the punt, I'd like to think, Joe, that they're not going to make the same mistake twice, that they can have an edge without going over the edge. And I hope that not only, you know, they got the penalty, but then Sirianni reinforces it in the meeting. The teammates are aware of it. It's almost like I hope, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe they'll do it again and I'll look like an idiot. I hope they got it out of their system and they'll think better of it the next time while still playing with an edge.
Ross, let's play it out. Ross Tucker with us here. So we don't know. We probably won't know till late in the week if Jalen Hurts will be cleared from protocol to play against the Cowboys. Ross, let's go under the assumption he's not going to be able to play this weekend. Let's say they have to play Pickett again against the Dallas Cowboys. They'll be favored to win, and they have to win the division before Week 18, which now, Ross, becomes interesting for me because if they're not going to get the one, and that's very unlikely at this point, Week 18 could be their bye week, assuming they wrap the division up this week. Ross, what do you think about a Cowboys matchup up this weekend against Pickett, and Dallas has played better the last few weeks here?
They really have. The Cowboys look pretty good. I was thoroughly impressed by them last night, right? They're officially eliminated and midway through the afternoon. Those guys showed up at the stadium knowing they were out, and they went out. I mean, they played well. They were hitting the crap out of the Bucks. I thought that was a super impressive win for the Cowboys. It'll be a little bit different, obviously, on the road in Philly. I think it'll be a very close competitive game. I hate to say it, but I think the way Rush is playing, if it's Pickett, if it's Jalen, I feel very good about it. If it's Pickett, I still feel pretty good about it in the sense that he'll get the reps this week. The offense will be totally designed around his skill set, and I have faith in Kellen Moore and Sirianni to be able to take advantage fully of what Pickett can do. Because, by the way, Pickett's not Hurts, but he's not like he's not just a pocket statue. He can move a little bit too. So I think either way the Eagles get the win. I think it's probably a little more comfortable if Jalen plays, but I do think even with Pickett, Eagles find a way to get the win.
Yeah, suddenly becomes a big game so they can finish this thing before Week 18. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on early this week. Ross, enjoy your holiday, and we'll
Thanks
catch up in the new year. Ross, thank you so much.
Sounds great. Likewise, guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker, at Ross Tucker NFL for his daily Ross report. How about that, Hugh Douglas? A little truth on the defense from Ross Tucker.
Well, because I understand there's a lot in play when it comes to this story, and that's a lot that people don't understand. And I get that, and I understand that, and that's part of my job is to try to sit here and explain it to you the best that I can. When we talk about this defense and the way that they play, it's not in any kind of way trying to slight Jalen Hurts' contribution. That's not what I'm trying to do, because I feel like just listening to people talk and the feedback that I'm getting, that's what people feel. That's not what I'm doing. I know how important Jalen is to this team, just like I knew how important Donovan was to the team that I played on. But the bottom line is this. Injuries happen in the NFL. And a lot of times you have to compensate for those injuries. So what I'm trying to tell you as a former defender, the mentality that you go into the game with, this defense has been the focal point and what has been talked about this whole season. So much so that it forced me to change my take, and people are running around the streets talking about defenses are luxury, not a necessity, all that other good stuff. So yesterday was the first time in a long time that this defense didn't live up to the expectations. And it's okay. It's not the end of the world. But all of a sudden, now people are mad because now by saying the defense didn't do their job, in some way that's slighting Jalen and what he brings to the table. That's not what it is. That's not what I'm trying to do.
I'm not even mad. Like, I guess, well, I'm frustrated because...
Well, we're all frustrated.
Yes, but not because of the loss, but because, like, I feel like when you ask Ross, you know, the defense didn't play well, this is not... Like, we all know those things are true. My point is you can trace everything back to the reality that Jalen Hurts got injured, and that throws everything else off. Like, we all admitted at one point in the show, even though some people are backing off of it because it's not helping what their agenda is today, is that this game would likely look very different if Jalen Hurts started the whole game. Do we not all agree with that?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. But like, so then why? Tell me why you think the game might look different if Jalen was a quarterback. And it's for all the reasons that I'm bringing up.
We also just had Ross, a former offensive lineman, and said they got beat up front. Ross has just given us his perspective watching the game. He put far more on the run game issues on they got beat.
But
they
I think if you asked him, he played better on the offensive line than he did on the court.
But
he also said that if Jalen Hurts was in there, it might look different.
Sure.
And he also said that he thinks the game would look a lot differently had Jalen Hurts been in there. Like, that's all I'm trying to say is that, like, this is okay. It's okay the defense didn't have their best day because you can explain it with the special teams not putting them in favorable positions and the offense doing that too.
I've just seen so many backups play worse. And it, like, yesterday, let me give you an example. The game that Jalen missed two games 2 years ago, right? Dallas and then New Orleans. The New Orleans game here, when they lost 20-10 and Minshew threw a pick six, that was horrendous. They scored 10 points with the best offense in the league. That is a quarterback change ruining the game.
I'm not even telling you that Kenny is to blame, like himself. I'm not saying he sucked and that's why they lost. I'm saying the reason that everything looked off, the reason that the defense looked off, the reason the offense couldn't get the run game going, it's because we were dealing with a change at quarterback. Our backup had to come in. Everything was thrown off. I'm not saying Kenny, like, in certain situations, yes, that's enough to win a game. I am saying the reason the Eagles lost, and it's okay to admit this, it's not because the defense, like, sucks all of a sudden. No, like, they were put in an unfavorable position by an offense that wasn't able to possess the ball and by special teams that couldn't kick the ball into the freaking end zone.
Yeah, so I think we all feel that in some way, whether strongly or passively. We all feel what Kyle feels there. That Jalen not being there changed things, and it affected the game, of course. I can't let the defense off the hook for yesterday. Hugh, you mentioned it's not just 36 points.
They gave up 36 points, man.
22 in the fourth quarter, which makes that's
yeah.
You know, the Eagles haven't lost a game like that in 5 years. I mean, like, it's almost impossible to lose like the way they lost yesterday, and they did it. And I know we're okay, but yesterday, like, they cost themselves a shot at the one seed yesterday. That's the truth. We can now we're all like, well, it probably wasn't going to happen anyway. When the game started, we're like, maybe. They cost themselves yesterday a shot at the one seed. That's a fact. Like, they have a 4% chance now instead of a 20% chance. It got worse. So that makes the whole process worse. So it's annoying. They ended up losing that game yesterday that they absolutely could have won. And the other thing, and I think, and I agree with Ross, they're going to find a way to win this weekend, even if it is Pickett. But they have to win this weekend. Otherwise, they can't rest in Week 18. That becomes their bye. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Elliot is in Lumberton. Hey, Elliot.
Hi, guys. How are we doing?
Elliot, we were frustrated after a loss. First time in months.
I know, and I am getting frustrated, and I feel like I'm getting an aneurysm listening to you guys this afternoon.
Why?
Because I agree with Kyle. The defense
that'll give you an aneurysm.
Solely to blame for this loss. It is on Pickett not being able to manage and sustain the offense and the run game. And by doing that, the defense couldn't get off the field. And I also put some of the blame on Jake Elliott because, once again,
this is why I don't
we can't kick a field goal over 50 yards.
This is one of the main reasons why.
So, Elliott, let me ask you a question. How is the defense not the biggest issue yesterday? They allowed 22 fourth quarter points, Elliot. How do you not come away frustrated with the defense? Their best safety got himself thrown out of the game because he can't compose himself. They had 12 men on the field and allowed a breakaway touchdown. How is that not on them?
It's not on them because, one, I don't know why CJGJ got it ejected after he got hit.
Well, I can give you a reason.
Because he was talking after the ref told him to be quiet.
Yeah, and because he can't compose himself. I mean, we've seen this now. He's been in the league a while. Like, he has no composure out there. It's fun half the time, and then half the time he's getting penalties.
I just think you guys are just looking for someone to blame because you can't blame Jalen this week, honestly. Because if Jalen is in that game, we win.
It's true.
Well, you don't know
honestly,
that. I mean, you don't know that.
If Tanner McKee was in the game,
oh my God.
I think we would have had a better shot at winning.
Yeah, right, I gotta stop. We gotta stop.
This is why I don't like talking
we gotta
football
stop.
With everybody, man. Because I'm sitting here.
You think Pickett played bad yesterday, Elliot?
Yeah.
Why? Give me reasons he played bad.
Did you guys see his stats in the second half?
Did you see the 26 points they had on the board with him? Can I give you four games this year where Jalen's stats were the same as his yesterday? Like, you make it sound like we haven't
14
won.
14 for 24, 143 yards.
We've won games.
One TD, one interception.
We've won games with that quarterback play three or four times this season. What didn't happen in those games? The defense didn't throw up on themselves.
I have one more point to make. You know how I knew this game wasn't going to go our way and it was going to end up a loss?
When?
When there was it was either a fourth or one or a fourth and two, and we punted the ball away. If Hurts is in that game, we go for it.
Probably. I mean, I agree.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why if Hurts was in this game, we win. We can't run our offense.
I know.
The way that
we do this thing where we create scenarios, but we don't take away the opposite scenarios. Like, you're right on that, Elliot. You're absolutely right that they go for that tush-push, probably convert it. There's also the bombs to AJ that became pass interferences that Jalen maybe, instead of throwing it, he doesn't see it and runs for 6 yards. Like, everything changes on the good and the bad. Everything changes. So you're right. There's probably three or four plays that they can't do because Jalen's not out there. There are also some things that Kenny did that Jalen probably wouldn't have done. He probably would have tucked it and run because he does that all the time. So, like, it's a totally different game. I'm looking at the game I watched yesterday, Ellie, and we appreciate it. And I thought the defense was the biggest reason.
That was crazy.
This is Kyle's fault.
It was. It was a little different.
No. Because now I'm offended by the way that my guy Elliot right there was treated.
Oh, jeez.
How was he treated? I didn't say a word. But he kind of validated why.
This is why I don't like talking football with a whole lot of people. But he's making some of my points.
That's why he's smart.
You're defending him?
All right, let's pause this. Can we hear from Dan Quinn? I want to hear Dan Quinn. Because yesterday it felt like they thought they won their Super Bowl. Can we hear this? They probably did. Let's hear Dan Quinn locker room yesterday. This is because of the defense.
One of us, everybody in this locker room, collective mindset, it did take everybody. All right, congrats on number 10, man. Heavy hitters now live here. I got a game ball to the first coach in his first season to get 10 wins in franchise history.
Franchise history, huh?
You know what? Hearing that, Hugh, I want to see them again.
It's
personal.
You do, but listen, people don't realize what happened for them and why they're celebrating the way that they're celebrating. They've been bottom dwellers for a while. They went into this game. Think about it. And I'm not going to hit y'all what I tried to tell y'all, but I did try to tell you.
Here we go.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
Into this game with a whole lot of bravado. They felt like they let one get away. 18 for 28 was what Jalen had. 221 yards, no TDs, sacked twice. They felt like one of them got away. We validated their parking ticket right now. We validated it because they're a team that they've been drafting it for number one draft picks forever, high in the draft forever. Now, they've gotten to the point where they feel like they got a leader of men with their young quarterback. Mm. That's why they're celebrating the way that they're celebrating. And we over here playing semantics, talking about this, that, or the third. What we need to do is go ahead and be real about what happened. The Bear got us yesterday. The Bear got us. Now we got to go ahead and get ready, finish out these last two games, and potentially get ready to see them again. Oh, because they think they solved the riddle. They did something that no other team was able to do. And I understand, listen, y'all, for y'all being your feelings, I'm not saying Jalen wasn't a big part of that. But when Jalen goes out of the game, the dynamic changes. You can conquer down on the running game a lot more than you could if Jalen wasn't out there.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, they still gave up 36 points. When was the last time this defense gave up 36 points?
Probably the last time Jalen Hurts wasn't in the game against
When was the last time that this defense had too many men on the field.
Last year, probably 36 points.
I would bet it's when Hurts either wasn't in the game or wasn't playing well.
That is uncharacteristic right there within itself. That stuff that you do at the beginning of the season, that stuff you do in Brazil.
Why are you confident that in a third meeting against the Commanders we'll beat them?
Because
they're going to be healthy, right?
No, you know why? Because they learn from their mistakes.
And well, the quarterback will be healthy.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, Kyle, I'm not slighting Jalen.
You
know who else was healthier in this game? Their quarterback. And you know what else, what he brought to the table that they didn't have the last time that they played? His ability to run the football. That's what hurts, if you want to talk semantics. That's what hurts you.
And we would have dogged them anyway if we had our quarterback.
No. But I think we're glossing over, like, bleep happens. You got to be able to overcome it. The Eagles won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Sure. We can't just say the quarterback goes out and we're done.
Okay, but
Jalen Hurts, every year of his career, has been banged up at the end of a season. Every single year. That's his reality. So guess what? There could be a playoff game. He gets knocked out.
Right. We'll cross that bridge when we get there, though. Like, my whole thing is, like, if Kenny was going to have to go in the rest of the season, I would sit here and say, you know what? The defense has to be better than it was yesterday in that game. My whole thing today is, it's okay. What just happened yesterday? There should be no big picture concerns about the defense because we're likely not to be in this situation again. And when Jalen Hurts is in, everything else falls in place after that.
215-592-9494. They got torched by a rookie quarterback in the fourth quarter.
They got torched.
They
damn near gave. He almost ran for 100 yards.
I know. It's one of the most highly.
Y'all crazy.
I think there's only been five quarterbacks ever to do that in the NFL. He torched them yesterday, and his running back fumbled the ball three times. Like, he lost three possessions because his running back.
And we gave those opportunities right back.
215-592-9494. For all your phone calls, we'll get to what Sirianni said about CJGJ getting ejected. They better get it together composure-wise because that can't happen in a big game. Plus, I tinker with the playoff machine after yesterday's results. I'll tell you what I came up with next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94, WIP.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday season, warm up with the comfort foods that you love, made even better with half-filled pork. And nothing brings holiday cheer quite like bacon on everything from breakfast to appetizers to holiday dinners. Bacon adds a perfect touch for flavor that your family will love. Y'all know how much I love bacon. That's why I love talking about bacon. So if you like bacon as much as I do, visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes and a retail location near you. Give the gift of flavor this year and go with Hatfield. Get some bacon. Mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Uh huh.
Mommy kind of fast though, kissing on Santa Claus.
Probably a traumatizing song when, like, the first time you like you grasp
you hear it.
Yeah. Or if you're living the song.
Well, where was Daddy?
Well, no. The point is that
no, I know
Santa is Daddy.
But
are you sure though?
Yes.
Well, that's that like, is the point.
That's
but
what they say.
But think about the kid not knowing.
Not knowing. Yes, okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay, you know what I mean?
That's traumatizing. Sure. I mean, what do you got there? Like, what's going on? You got, do you
Santa's,
tell Dad?
Santa's got the goods.
Say, mama fast.
Do you confront Mom? I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, Mom, what you doing?
Oh, he's going to tell Dad. That's what he says in the song.
Well, I think that's probably what you have to do there.
That's the smart move.
Ruining Santa
that's
Claus.
Right.
I mean, ruining Christmas. 215-592-9494. Christmas not ruined for the Eagles. They're still in fine shape. They're going to win the division with a win over the Cowboys on Sunday. But that might be Kenny Pickett. 215-592-9494. We'll find out as the week goes on. More information on Jalen. He's got to pass protocol. I mean, that's everyone's different. Some guys, Hugh, come back this next week. Some guys, they don't. I mean,
yeah, they take a little bit of time. And I think with Jalen, you don't want to rush him back because of how important he is to this offense. If he's cleared, you're playing.
Right,
but
right.
If he's kind of borderline, I don't think they take the chance.
Well, we'll see. Excuse me. We'll see what happens by Sunday. But the loss yesterday does put some things into perspective. So the idea of them getting the number one seed is very minuscule. I mean, almost impossible. They very likely are going to be the two seed by winning one of their final two games. But yesterday, Hugh, it did open up two avenues for them and who they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs. It does feel now like it's going to be one of two teams. It's going to be the Green Bay Packers or it's going to be the Washington Commanders. Now,
I want to see the Commanders.
Well, I do too.
I didn't want to see them last week because you know the whole familiarity thing, but nah. Yeah, they got it. Yeah, they got to see us.
So I did a little dive in the playoff machine last night. I was I was cooking up some scenarios here. Yep.
That playoff machine sounded like a forklift.
So I was diving in. So here, it's still likely to be the Commanders. But this coming Sunday, right, week 17, Packers will play the Vikings, who won again yesterday. That game is in Minnesota. Hugh, if Minnesota beats Green Bay and Washington beats Atlanta this week down in Washington, by the time we are talking next Monday, you know who the seventh seed is? The Packers. Washington will jump up to the sixth. The Packers could fall as low as the seventh. So yesterday, it gave the Commanders a little of a little boost here to get towards the sixth seed and maybe not play us. So you said Friday you'd rather play the Packers. You now on the Commanders? You want to see them?
No, I want to see the Commanders.
I do,
because
too.
Because it was a perfect storm when you think about it. They caught us a week after we played a physical game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And let's call it for what it is. They're out physicalists. They hurt our quarterback. He went out of the game. And they imposed their will on us for the most part.
Yep.
That's the reality that I think that a lot of people don't want to really wrap their minds around. I want that matchup again. I want that one because, I mean, hey, like I said, sometimes you get the bear gets you. And I'm pretty sure that the players, they want that matchup as well. They want to see him again.
And I'll take my chances with Fangio against Kingsbury for a third time. I thought Kingsbury got him in the second half yesterday. There were the Eagles ran a lot of blitzes at Daniels that did not get home in the second half.
Yeah.
And they don't usually blitz that much. I felt like it was an uptick in blitzes, and they didn't work enough, obviously. The Commanders moved the football, gets them. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up in a few minutes, we'll let you hear what Sirianni said about the discipline issues yesterday on the team. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Oh, drink team. How y'all doing today?
Will, we're trying to figure out how to react after a loss. We forgot. We're just totally out of practice right now.
Okay, let me just say this first of all, okay? Jalen is the driver. We all been saying that. We all knew that. But now it shows, right? The second thing is, all this, and I keep saying it, we got a game to give. We don't have no game to give. Every game is a must win, man. So let's stop speaking that into existence. But my thing is this, right? The thing is, as coaches, we supposed to be able to adjust to any situation. If Jalen goes out, if our safety goes out, we supposed to be ready for anything that comes our way, okay? This is the thing. Halftime, all you had to do was tell Pickett, listen, all I want is to score. I don't care if it's a field goal or a touchdown. We just need you to drive us down the field and get a score, okay? And the main thing that happened, everybody blaming it on the drop passes. Okay, that played the part. The defense being tired, and they were tired. That played the part. But the main thing is, you had 10 seconds left in the game. 10. You don't call a timeout, let these guys get a little breather, readjust, put a good play in, and say, listen, we want to force him out of the backfield. No matter what we do, we want him out of that backfield. Once he's out of that backfield, the time is ticking. Now, once we got him out the backfield, we just got to get him or stop the pass. But when he's out the backfield, that time ticking, if we get a stop anyway, the game over. So that's the thing, man. We got to be prepared for whatever happens. And the guy, and guess what? Pickett did play a good game. You know what I'm saying? He did play a good game. But the whole thing is we have to do more when we got that type of situation in play. We got to have more, you know, we got to open that playbook up, man. That playbook, you got to open it up, expand it. You got to activate all your weapons. We're not doing that. And now is the time to do it, man. But guess what? That was a small loss. Jalen didn't play, and that's the big thing. He didn't play, but guess what? He'll be back. But this is the question I'm going to ask, and then y'all can chop me.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because of protocol, or did he have a concussion? And if it's protocol, will he still be able to play next week? But if it was a concussion, will he not be able
so
to play?
I'm not
sure on that.
So it's the it's a concussion protocol, and what that means is they have a baseline, right? He answers these questions before the season. And he, however many questions, I'm not sure how many it is, but he's asked a series of questions before the season. And then they do it so they kind of get a baseline for how quickly he answers the questions and how accurately he answers questions. And then they'll do the same or similar test when you get your head hit, right? Like during a game, they'll take you to the sideline.
And they'll ask you the same questions, yeah. And that's how it used to work, so I'm assuming it's about the same.
Right, and they'll get a gauge of, okay, he's answering the questions as quickly, or it's taking him longer, or he's getting them wrong. And they're like, and so like they can't really know, right? They can't know exactly if he has a concussion, but the protocol helps them kind of say, oh, he's probably concussed.
Yeah,
here.
And I don't know how it works. I know it's something like that. And the way that they do it, it's like they'll ask you random questions, then I'll ask you those key questions that you did. Because I remember doing it probably my last couple years in the league where they basically asked you certain, like, hey, where are you from? What was your favorite color in high school? What was the color of your high school football team or something like that? So, yeah, it just all depends on how he answered those questions that he was supposed to know and whether or not they felt comfortable with him going back in the game.
Yeah, and now moving forward this week, he has to get out of the protocol, right? He's in the protocol right now. He has to graduate out of it by the time we get to the game on Sunday. And Hugh, it just feels like it's very random. I don't know how
it works, because it feels like a lot of times that it depends on the player. I mean, obviously it depends on the player, but I don't know what the protocol is for each individual.
So,
and that's why it seems like sometimes it's longer for some and it's shorter for others.
And I think it has very little to do with, like, I think we look at Jalen and we say he's a tough guy, right? That has nothing to do with this.
Mm-mm.
This is a brain thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, some players, they get out of it in a week and they play the next game. Jalen could. He also may not. Like, this is not, like, it's totally a flip of the coin. I have no idea if he's going to play Sunday. I don't think the Eagles have any idea if he's going to play Sunday.
No, it's still up in the air.
Yes.
I would venture to say that it's still up in the air right now.
Yeah, I would think we're not going to find out until, like, usually as the week progresses, you get a little bit of a sense. Sometimes players are back, like, walking through.
Mm-hmm.
I think Devontae missed the game after the Saints game. Remember, he had the Saints concussion?
Yeah.
And then I think he may have walked through on Wednesday, but he didn't make it back for the Bucs game. But then they've had players, I know, just you mentioned earlier, this past week, Zach Ertz for the Commanders, he got a concussion last week. He played yesterday. So it's totally up in the air. Can we hear from Sirianni yesterday? Because there were a lot of issues. Jalen going out, the defense, clearly discipline, special teams. But let's focus on the discipline here. CJGJ had an ejection yesterday. And after that, the Commanders' offense was just going up and down the field. Here's Sirianni on the discipline of his football team.
We talk about everything. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. We talked about it on the field right there as it happened. Again, if it didn't get fixed, though, that's always going to be on me. They got to be better in those scenarios, and I got to be better in those scenarios to help them. So, again, we look at this as an opportunity to get better for them, because we know we need to. We know we need to get better from the things that we messed up today.
So the Commanders had 14 points on the board, Hugh, when CJGJ went out. They scored 21 after that. I mean, they really moved the football down the field. Do you think it's challenging for Sirianni to get on them for composure when sometimes he doesn't show composure?
No, I think in this situation, though, it's you got to be careful about how you present the message. And I know a lot of people probably won't understand that, because we had an issue about a week ago when you're talking about Jalen Carter. I don't think you need to. I don't think you need to pile on. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, because I'm pretty sure CJ GJ knew after it happened and the way the game played out.
They missed
that
him.
They missed him sorely. So you don't want to pile on. And this is a situation. This is a learning experience, people. And I know we're talking about it and emotions are running high and we haven't really been here in a while. We're going to be okay. But it's some things that you would rather see them now and correct them as opposed to being in the playoffs and you're one and done. So I'm not that upset. And I know everybody's emotions running high and the defense, da 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 da, whatever. For all the warts that they had yesterday, it's fixable.
Mm-hmm. I think with CJ, GJ, and Carter, I'll use those two as the biggest example because mm-hmm. I feel like if we're picking the guys in the defense that are most likely to get personal fouls, thrown out of a game, it's those two. I don't want to take it away from them, Hugh. Like, they play those two.
That's what makes them who they are.
They play with an edge. I thought the Eagles missed that edge on defense last year with CJ, GJ. But, Hugh, there's a line. Like, I can't. The first one, when he got a flag for a personal foul, okay, right? You're playing hard. You're playing a little over the whistle. You get one. But you got to be careful after that. Like, I don't want to hear CJ, GJ blaming the refs for being too sensitive. If you know you already have one personal foul. I mean, we had Merrill on earlier. I said, you know, pipe down. Like, right, don't get your – it's almost like in the NBA. You get one technical, you got to be careful not to get the second.
Yeah, and this is not an excuse, but you talk about the fact that they were out there chirping and what they were saying the week before. I mean, that's, you know, he was in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be smart in that. You're right, but he was in the moment. And it's one of them things, man. That's why I think they want to see them again. Because you did – that was a lot – like – You pumped your chest out. You got the big piece of chicken. I can't, you know, you can't take anything away from the Commanders. They did what they set out to do.
Mm.
But boy, if you get to see them again in that first round, boy, ooh, up here, ooh, that's going to be a tough spot.
I can tell
to
you right,
in.
You know who else wants it to be a first round game? The NFL. Because it became a big
deal. But don't you love it
now.
Though? Because we don't know what the Cowboys are going to be. I know Kyle said something last week that he thinks they're going to have a resurgence next year. But the fact that the Commodores look like they got some fight about them, that is beautiful. That's a beautiful. We already know the Giants. They probably a couple decades off. You know what I mean?
Now this
but
feels like a rivalry
that the
again.
Commodore,
yeah.
The Commodores coming like this, that's fun. I mean, I like it. I love it.
I just want to point out historically because you brought me into this and what I said last week. Historically, the Cowboys bounce back.
They do.
The Commanders have one-offs and then fall back into the gutter.
I don't feel like this is a one-off.
No, I don't either, but I'm just saying, like, it's yeah. there's the RG, like, this happened with RG3.
Mm-hmm.
They had a boost with Cousins a little bit, even though they won the division like 9-7. But the Cowboys usually go like 12-5, what, four-win season, 12-5, like, the Commanders, this is more abnormal for the Commanders.
I agree with that. Let's go to the phone lines here. Kyle in Port Richmond's up. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Kyle?
How are you? I got to agree with my man, Kyle. You know, I was at the game yesterday, and I'm not taking anything away from Kenny Pickett. He did what a backup is supposed to do. He missed a lot of wide-open people. He held the ball a little bit too long. And, you know, the thing about Jalen Hurts is he has that it factor, that winning leader mentality. And when he's in the game, it shows. Like, he has certain skills that Kenny doesn't have. When Jalen Hurts is on the line, the defensive ends can't crash because of their fear of the RPO. When Kenny Pickett's up there, they crashed in, and you know he was running scared for a majority of the game. And same with Saquon Barkley in the rushing. When Jalen Hurts is in there, you have to fear that Jalen Hurts is going to take that ball and run it to the other side. When he's not in there, you don't have to fear that. So you can key and stack the box and crash the defensive ends and do things like that. So. And yes, I do agree with you guys also. I do also think that the defense was trash. I mean, but they were a little gassed because of the three and outs. And, you know, yes, they had five turnovers, but then they were right back on the field right after the five turnovers. So it's like it's a little bit of both. I think both offense and defense will play off each other. So that's just my opinion.
Well, they need to. I mean, that's why they've been good this year. Kyle, we appreciate the phone call. Go ahead.
You know what I find ironic in that statement? And not the call. Shout out to Carl. Thank you for calling. Is that – we sat here last year, and we chastised Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter for being tired. Hell, we even chastised nationally a quarterback for saying that he was tired because he couldn't run certain plays.
Yeah, Richardson.
But today,
well, that's a disgrace.
But today, we as fans want to use that as an excuse as a professional. I don't know what to say. I'm just surprised.
I can point out where I think the difference comes in.
Where's the difference?
Because
tired is tired.
Well, can I explain the difference,
yes,
please, sir?
Yes, sir, please.
I think the difference is people are mad at Davis and Carter for not being conditioned, for not putting work in to be conditioned. Like, the defense is going, like, at a certain point, there's nothing you, like, if you're out there for so often, like, you're, like, accepting, okay, they're going to be tired. Davis and Carter didn't have an excuse to just not be relevant in the second half of the season. This is different within 60 minutes of a game.
Same thing.
No, it's not.
It's the same thing.
It's totally not.
Let me tell you, drawing on my past experiences, when I first got to Philadelphia, we knew our offense was not that good. And we would go into games knowing that we're probably the time differential was going to be different. We're probably going to play a whole lot. You know what we did after that? We would do extra because we knew that it would probably come down to that. Everybody as a defense. Being tired is no excuse.
I'm going to get you right here.
What?
I remember seeing a video of Barry Sanders running all over your defense. You're sitting there huffing and puffing with your hands on your defense. That's within one game where you're tired, but you've never had a season where you're like, man, I'm not in shape. Like, that's a different thing.
It's a difference between
being tired and being conditioned are different.
It's a difference between being tired and knowing that you ain't got a snowball chance in hell in catching Barry Sanders. So, that's a big difference.
You don't think there's a difference between being tired in a game and being conditioned for a football season?
You got to suck it up, man. And you're always tired. You're always tired,
Joe.
But you got to keep going.
Football guy thoughts.
I'm a football guy here. Okay. Let me add an extra wrinkle to the debate you guys are having. I think it's interesting both way you're framing it. I'm going to spin it to this weekend and why this weekend is so gigantic that the Eagles win this football game against the Cowboys. Everyone's been saying the one seed's not that big of a deal. They may be tired, guys, because they haven't had a bye since week 5. It's part of the NFL. You get it's attrition. Do you know when the Commanders' bye was? 2 weeks ago. They looked fresher in the fourth quarter. So I need the Eagles to win on Sunday against the Cowboys to get their.
You sort of rest the players for the last one?
Right. So we could create a bye in week 18. Because the defense I saw in the fourth quarter yesterday, if they have to play every game, I think they're going to be out of gas by the time we get to the NFC title game. That's my feeling. It's just too many weeks in a row to play football at a high level. And they had a slip up yesterday. Doesn't mean they're dead. Doesn't mean it's over. That was a slip up. So whether they're tired yesterday or they're tired because of this or that, I need them to get a little rest here. And if they win Sunday, we could create one in week 18. Otherwise, I will have this in the back of my head that they might be running out of gas here. Black Rudy's up. What's up, Black Rudy?
First of all, don't hang up on me then. I got a holiday message for everybody.
Okay.
So let me tell you something. Vic Fangio, you don't know what a spy is on third and fourth down for Jaden Daniels? Okay, you trash. That was a bad game by you. Kellen Moore, you can't make no kind of adjustments for tiny hands? Okay, I'm mad at you. Nick Sirianni, you out there, Sirianni, you ain't got nothing else to do. You can't count 12 men on the field and call a timeout, bro? That's on you. You went 4-4 in the fourth quarter, but you were scared to death to have Kenny Pickett do a touch plus. He can't do a QB sneak, bro. You can't go 4-1 for a QB sneak for the second, third quarter. Embarrassing coach by you. And what is your record without Jalen Hurts, Sirianni? And Hugh, how we have said QB factory, right? What a QB factory is 0-4 when Jalen's out. So who's there? I don't know. But you got Kenny Pickett. Oh, first round pick. Now, Joe Giglio? Pickett is trash. I watched for 2 years. Tanner McKee would have won that game. I don't care what you say. A dude named Duck Dynasty won for Pittsburgh. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say about Kenny Pickett. He sucks. I know he sucks. Guaranteed he sucks. And yes, I know that's when he dropped that ball, so take a while. But Kenny Pickett sucks. And Tyler gave you all the math about it. And Hugh,
yes.
In week 11:47, I love you. I respect every down you done play. But listen, a defense is luxury. I don't hear nothing out of your mouth about no dang gum defense today. And don't you invoke the fact that you played, because you've been telling me all year.
You got a good point, luxury. Man.
So I'm not taking no respect out of anything you did today. And I saw you down there in Atlanta shaking it for Santa Claus. Don't you bring that stuff up here. Get yourself focused. And let me calm down.
First of all, he had a picture of a Santa Claus dancing, and they tried to say it was me.
Was it?
Allegedly.
You
can't prove it.
And see Hugh taking it down there in Atlanta. Don't you bring that stuff up
I can invoke my playing days, even though I didn't think defense was that important.
Look,
I can't.
If,
He's back. He's a football guy again.
It's a luxury. Oh, yeah, stop, Hugh. Let me, I got some lemon pepper wings in the back of the reader. Let me tell you my holiday message so I can get out of here, okay? Now, right now is the time of year where people try to tell you forgiveness and let people back in your lives. Don't you do it. Love the people that love you. The people you don't cut off, keep them cut off, player. Don't get weak now. Stay strong, stay petty, and love the ones you love, okay? Merry Christmas to everybody. I'll talk to y'all. And Hugh Douglas, you shut your mammy and jammy mouth. Defense is a luxury, and Kenny Pickett sucks. I'll talk to y'all.
Merry Christmas, Black Gritty. Good fall car. This segment sponsored by McGurk's Bubba Grill.
Y'all getting all personal.
Yep, McGurk's Warriorsford is opening a new location. Another one coming soon to Langhorne. If looking for a great spot to watch the game, make it McGurk's. Yeah, I mean, you had to know that was coming here today.
No, I'm just saying, man. I got involved. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you what I see. Mm-hmm. That's my job. I analyze stuff. And the defense, they gave up 36 points.
That's fact.
Sounds like a necessity.
That's what we've been trying to tell you.
If you're
going to
sit here and tell me that the defense is the biggest reason they lost, then you got to drop the luxury take. I mean, you can't have it both ways, man.
I ain't got to drop nothing. It fits my narrative for the day. What are you talking about? Why can't I change mine? Everybody else gets to change their narrative. I can't change mine and be the defender that I once was.
Nope. I'm like how today he remembered who he was. Today he woke up and said, I used to be Hugh Douglas.
He's a shell of himself.
He's like an old boxer goes out there one last time. I can still do it.
I could have been a contender.
All right, 215-592-9494. Your chance to react with us next. What's the biggest reason the Eagles lost the game yesterday? Is it as simple as Jalen went down, or the other factors, the defense, the special teams, the discipline? It all was not good enough yesterday. We're off the rest of the week, so we got to do a kiss the baby coming up. Plus, the Phillies, they actually made a move. Yeah, not just Max Cup, but the Phillies acquired yesterday right as the Eagles were about to start. One of baseball's most intriguing young pitchers. We'll talk about it. 215-592-949 for Midday Show right here at Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The Kissing Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
Mommy kind of fast, though, kissing on Santa Claus.
Probably a traumatizing song. When, like, the first time you, like, yeah, you grasp you it. Yeah. Or if you're living the song.
Well, where was Daddy?
Well, no, the point is that
no, I know.
Santa is Daddy.
But
are you sure, though?
Yes.
Well, that's that, like, is the point.
That's
but
what they say.
But think about the kid not knowing.
Not knowing. Yes, okay, yeah, yes, yeah, okay, you know what I mean?
That's traumatizing. Sure. I mean, what do you got there? Like, what's going on? Do you tell
Santa's,
Dad?
Santa's got the goods.
Say, mama fast.
Do you confront Mom? I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, Mom, what you doing?
No, he's going to tell Dad. That's what he says in the song.
Well, I think that's probably what you have to do there.
That's the smart move.
Ruining Santa
that's
Claus.
That's right.
I mean, ruining Christmas. 215-592-9494. Christmas not ruined for the Eagles. They're still in fine shape. They're going to win the division with a win over the Cowboys on Sunday. But that might be Kenny Pickett. 215-592-9494. We'll find out as the week goes on. More information on Jalen. He's got to pass protocol. I mean, that's everyone's different. Some guys, Hugh, come back this next week. Some guys, they don't. I mean,
yeah, they take a little bit of time. And I think with Jalen, you don't want to rush him back because of how important he is to this offense. If he's cleared, you're playing.
Right,
but
right.
If he's kind of borderline, I don't think they take the chance.
Well, we'll see. Excuse me. We'll see what happens by Sunday. But the loss yesterday does put some things into perspective. So the idea of them getting the number one seed is very minuscule. I mean, almost impossible. They very likely are going to be the two seed by winning one of their final two games. But yesterday, Hugh, it did open up two avenues for them and who they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs. It does feel now like it's going to be one of two teams. It's going to be the Green Bay Packers or it's going to be the Washington Commanders. Now,
I want to see the Commanders.
Well, I do too.
I didn't want to see them last week because you know the whole familiarity thing, but nah. Yeah, they got it. Yeah, they got to see us.
So I did a little dive in the playoff machine last night. I was I was cooking up some scenarios here. Yep.
That playoff machine sounded like a forklift.
So I was diving in. So here, it's still likely to be the Commanders. But this coming Sunday, right, week 17, Packers will play the Vikings, who won again yesterday. That game is in Minnesota. Hugh, if Minnesota beats Green Bay and Washington beats Atlanta this week down in Washington, by the time we are talking next Monday, you know who the 7th seed is? The Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Washington will jump up to the 6th. The Packers could fall as low as the 7th. So yesterday, it gave the Commanders a little of a little boost here to get towards the 6th seed and maybe not play us. So you said Friday you'd rather play the Packers. You now on the Commanders? You want to see them?
Oh, no, I want to see the Commanders.
I do,
because
too.
Because it was a perfect storm when you think about it. They caught us a week after we played a physical game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And let's call it for what it is. They're out physicalists. They hurt our quarterback. He went out of the game. And they imposed their will on us for the most part.
Yep.
That's the reality that I think that a lot of people don't want to really wrap their minds around. I want that matchup again. I want that one because, I mean, hey, like I said, sometimes you get the bear gets you. And I'm pretty sure that the players, they want that matchup as well. They want to see him again.
And I'll take my chances with Fangio against Kingsbury for a third time. I thought Kingsbury got him in the second half yesterday. There were the Eagles ran a lot of blitzes at Daniels that did not get home in the second half.
Yeah.
And they don't usually blitz that much. I felt like it was an uptick in blitzes, and they didn't work enough, obviously. The Commanders moved the football, gets them. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up in a few minutes, we'll let you hear what Sirianni said about the discipline issues yesterday on the team. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Oh, drink team, how y'all doing today?
Will, we're trying to figure out how to react after a loss. We forgot. We're just totally out of practice right now.
Okay, let me just say this first of all, okay? Jalen is the driver. We all been saying that. We all knew that. But now it shows, right? The second thing is, all this, and I keep saying it, oh, we got a game to give. We don't have no game to give. Every game is a must win, man. So let's stop speaking that into existence. But my thing is this, right? The thing is, as coaches, we supposed to be able to adjust to any situation. If Jalen goes out, if our safety goes out, we supposed to be ready for anything that comes our way, okay? This is the thing. Halftime, all you had to do was tell Pickett, listen, all I want is to score. I don't care if it's a field goal or a touchdown. We just need you to drive us down the field and get a score, okay? And the main thing that happened, everybody blaming on the drop passes. Okay, that played the part. The defense being tired, and they were tired. That played the part. But the main thing is, you had 10 seconds left in the game. 10. You don't call a timeout
let these guys get a little breather, readjust, put a good play in, and say, listen, we want to force him out of the backfield. No matter what we do, we want him out of that backfield. Once he's out of that backfield, the time is ticking. Now, once we got him out the backfield, we just got to get him or stop the pass. But when he's out the backfield, that time ticking, if we get a stop anyway, the game over. So that's the thing, man. We got to be prepared for whatever happens. And the guy, and guess what? Pickett did play a good game. You know what I'm saying? He did play a good game. But the whole thing is we have to do more when we got that type of situation in play. We got to have more, you know, we got to open that playbook up, man. That playbook, you got to open it up, expand it. You got to activate all your weapons. We're not doing that. And now is the time to do it, man. But guess what? That was a small loss. Jalen didn't play, and that's the big thing. He didn't play, but guess what? He'll be back. But this is the question I'm going to ask, and then y'all can chop me.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because of protocol, or did he have a concussion? And if it's protocol, will he still be able to play next week? But if it was a concussion, will he not be able
so
to play?
I'm not
sure on that.
So it's the it's a concussion protocol, and what that means is they have a baseline, right? He answers these questions before the season. And he, however many questions, I'm not sure how many it is, but he's asked a series of questions before the season. And then they do it so they kind of get a baseline for how quickly he answers the questions and how accurately he answers questions. And then they'll do the same or similar test when you get your head hit, right? Like during a game, they'll take you to the sideline.
And they'll ask you the same questions, yeah. And that's how it used to work, so I'm assuming it's about the same.
Right, and they'll get a gauge of, okay, he's answering the questions as quickly, or it's taking them longer, or he's getting them wrong. And they're like, and so like they can't really know, right? They can't know exactly if he has a concussion, but the protocol helps them kind of say, oh, he's probably concussed.
Yeah, and I don't know how it works. I know it's something like that. And the way that they do it, it's like they'll ask you random questions, then I'll ask you those key questions that you did. Because I remember doing it probably my last couple years in the league where they basically asked you certain, like, hey, where are you from? What was your favorite color in high school? What was the color of your high school football team or something like that? So, yeah, it just all depends on how he answered those questions that he was supposed to know and whether or not they felt comfortable with him going back in the game.
Yeah, and now moving forward this week, he has to get out of the protocol, right? He's in the protocol right now. He has to graduate out of it by the time we get to the game on Sunday. And Hugh, it just feels like it's very random. I don't think
I don't know how it works, because it feels like a lot of times that it depends on the player. I mean, obviously it depends on the player, but I don't know what the protocol is for each individual.
So,
and that's why it seems like sometimes it's longer for some and it's shorter for others.
And I think it has very little to do with, like, I think we look at Jalen and we say he's a tough guy, right? That has nothing to do with this.
Mm-mm.
This is a brain thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, some players, they get out of it in a week and they play the next game. Jalen could. He also may not. Like, this is not, like, it's totally a flip of the coin. I have no idea if he's going to play Sunday. I don't think the Eagles have any idea if he's going to play Sunday.
No, it's still up in the air.
Yes.
I would venture to say that it's still up in the air right now.
Yeah, I would think we're not going to find out until, like, usually as the week progresses, you get a little bit of a sense. Sometimes players are back, like, walking through.
Mm-hmm.
I think Devontae missed the game after the Saints game. Remember, he had the Saints concussion?
Yeah.
And then I think he may have walked through on Wednesday, but he didn't make it back for the Bucs game. But then they've had players, I know, just you mentioned earlier, this past week, Zach Ertz for the Commanders, he got a concussion last week. He played yesterday. So it's totally up in the air. Can we hear from Sirianni yesterday? Because there were a lot of issues. Jalen going out, the defense, clearly discipline, special teams. But let's focus on the discipline here. CJGJ had a ejection yesterday, and after that, the Commanders' offense was just going up and down the field. Here's Sirianni on the discipline of his football team.
We talk about everything. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. We talked about it on the field right there as it happened. Again, if it didn't get fixed, though, that's always going to be on me. They got to be better in those scenarios, and I got to be better in those scenarios to help them. So, again, we look at this as an opportunity to get better for them, because we know we need to. We know we need to get better from the things that we messed up today.
So the Commanders had 14 points on the board, Hugh, when CJGJ went out. They scored 21 after that. I mean, they really moved the football down the field. Do you think it's challenging for Sirianni to get on them for composure when sometimes he doesn't show composure?
No, I think in this situation, though, it's you got to be careful about how you present the message. And I know a lot of people probably won't understand that, because we had an issue about a week ago when you're talking about Jalen Carter. I don't think you need to pile on. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, because I'm pretty sure CJ GJ knew after it happened and the way the game played out.
They missed
that
him.
They missed him sorely. So you don't want to pile on. And this is a situation. This is a learning experience, people. And I know we're talking about it and emotions are running high and we haven't really been here in a while. We're going to be okay. But it's some things that you would rather see them now and correct them as opposed to being in the playoffs and you're one and done. So I'm not that upset. And I know everybody's emotions running high and the defense, da 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 da, whatever. For all the warts that they had yesterday, it's fixable.
Mm-hmm. I think with CJ, GJ, and Carter, I'll use those two as the biggest example because mm-hmm. I feel like if we're picking the guys on the defense that are most likely to get personal fouls, thrown out of a game, it's those two. I don't want to take it away from them, Hugh. Like, they play those two.
That's what makes them who they are.
They play with an edge. I thought the Eagles missed that edge on defense last year with CJ, GJ. But, Hugh, there's a line. Like, I can't. The first one, when he got a flag for a personal foul, okay, right? You're playing hard. You're playing a little over the whistle. You get one. But you got to be careful after that. Like, I don't want to hear CJ, GJ blaming the refs for being too sensitive. If you know you already have one personal foul. I mean, we had Merrill on earlier. I said, you know, pipe down. Like, right, don't get your – it's almost like in the NBA. You get one technical, you got to be careful not to get the second.
Yeah, and this is not an excuse, but you talk about the fact that they were out there chirping and what they were saying the week before. I mean, that's – you know, he was in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be smart in that. You're right, but he was in the moment. And it's one of them things, man. That's why I think they want to see them again. Because you did – that was a lot – like – You pumped your chest out. You got the big piece of chicken. I can't, you know, you can't take anything away from the Commanders. They did what they set out to do.
Mm.
But boy, if you get to see them again in that first round, boy, ooh, up here, ooh, that's going to be a tough spot.
I can tell you right.
In.
You know who else wants it to be a first round game? The NFL.
Because yes.
it became a big deal.
But don't you love it
now.
Though? Because we don't know what the Cowboys are going to be. I know Kyle said something last week that he thinks they're going to have a resurgence next year. But the fact that the Commodores look like they got some fight about them, that is beautiful. That's a beautiful. We already know the Giants. They probably a couple decades off. You know what I mean?
Now this
but
feels
the fact
like a rivalry
that the
again.
Commodores,
yeah.
The Commodores coming like this, that's fun. I mean, I like it. I love it.
I just want to point out historically because you brought me into this and what I said last week. Historically, the Cowboys bounce back.
They do.
The Commanders have one-offs and then fall back into the gutter.
I don't feel like this is a one-off.
No, I don't either, but I'm just saying, like, there's the RG, like, this happened with RG3.
Mm-hmm.
They had a boost with Cousins a little bit, even though they won the division like 9-7. But the Cowboys usually go like 12-5, what, four-win season, 12-5. Like, the Commanders, this is more abnormal for the Commanders.
I agree with that. Let's go to the phone lines here. Kyle in Port Richmond's up. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Kyle?
I got to agree with my man, Kyle. You know, I was at the game yesterday, and I'm not taking anything away from Kenny Pickett. He did what a backup is supposed to do. He missed a lot of wide-open people. He held the ball a little bit too long. And, you know, the thing about Jalen Hurts is he has that it factor, that winning leader mentality. And when he's in the game, it shows. Like, he has certain skills that Kenny doesn't have. When Jalen Hurts is on the line, the defensive ends can't crash because of their fear of the RPO. When Kenny Pickett's up there, they crashed in, and you know he was running scared for a majority of the game. And same with Saquon Barkley in the rushing. When Jalen Hurts is in there, you have to fear that Jalen Hurts is going to take that ball and run it to the other side. When he's not in there, you don't have to fear that. So you can key and stack the box and crash the defensive ends and do things like that. So. And yes, I do agree with you guys also. I do also think that the defense was trash. I mean, but they were a little gassed because of the three and outs. And, you know, yes, they had five turnovers, but then they were right back on the field right after the five turnovers. So it's like it's a little bit of both. I think both offense and defense will play off each other. So that's just my opinion.
Well, they need to. I mean, that's why they've been good this year. Kyle, we appreciate the phone call. Go ahead.
You know what I find ironic in that statement? And shout out to Carl. Thank you for calling. Is that – we sat here last year, and we chastised Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter for being tired. Hell, we even chastised nationally a quarterback for saying that he was tired because he couldn't run certain plays.
Yeah, Richardson.
But today.
Well, that's a disgrace.
But today, we as fans want to use that as an excuse, as a professional. I don't know what to say. I'm just surprised.
I can point out where I think the difference comes in. People
Where's the difference?
Because
tired is tired.
Well, can I explain the difference,
yes,
please, sir?
Yes, sir, please.
I think the difference is people are mad at Davis and Carter for not being conditioned, for not putting work in to be conditioned. Like, the defense is going, like, at a certain point, there's nothing you, like, if you're out there for so often, like, you're, like, accepting, okay, they're going to be tired. Davis and Carter didn't have an excuse to just not be relevant in the second half of the season. This is different within 60 minutes of a game. No, it's not.
It's the same
thing. It's totally not.
Let me tell you. I draw it on my past experiences. When I first got to Philadelphia, we knew our offense was not that good. And we would go into games knowing that we're probably the time differential is going to be different. We're probably going to play a whole lot. You know what we did after that? We would do extra because we knew that it would probably come down to that. Everybody as a defense. Being tired is no excuse.
I'm going to get you right here.
What?
I remember seeing a video of Barry Sanders running all over your defense. You're sitting there huffing and puffing with your hands on your defense. That's within one game where you're tired, but you've never had a season where you're like, man, I'm not in shape. Like, that's a different thing.
It's a difference between
being tired and being conditioned are different.
It's a difference being tired and knowing that you ain't got a snowball chance in hell in catching Barry Sanders. So, that's a big difference.
You don't think there's a difference between being tired in a game and being conditioned for a football season?
You got to suck it up, man. And you're always tired. You're always tired,
Joe.
But you got to keep going.
Football guy thoughts.
I'm a football guy here. Okay. Let me add an extra wrinkle to the debate you guys are having. I think it's interesting both way you're framing it. I'm going to spin it to this weekend and why this weekend is so gigantic that the Eagles win this football game against the Cowboys. Everyone's been saying the one seed's not that big of a deal. They may be tired, guys, because they haven't had a bye since week 5. It's part of the NFL. You get it's attrition. Do you know when the Commanders' bye was? 2 weeks ago. They looked fresher in the fourth quarter. So I need the Eagles to win on Sunday against the Cowboys to get the
You sort of rest the players for the last one?
Right. So we could create a bye in week 18. Because the defense I saw in the fourth quarter yesterday, if they have to play every game, I think they're going to be out of gas by the time we get to the NFC title game. That's my feeling. It's just too many weeks in a row to play football at a high level. And they had a slip up yesterday. Doesn't mean they're dead. Doesn't mean it's over. That was a slip up. So whether they're tired yesterday or they're tired because of this or that, I need them to get a little rest here. And if they win Sunday, we could create one in week 18. Otherwise, I will have this in the back of my head that they might be running out of gas here. Black Gritty's up. What's up, Black Gritty?
First of all, don't hang up on me, Dan. I got a holiday message for everybody.
Okay.
So let me tell you something. Vic Fangio, you don't know what a spy is on third and fourth down for Jane Daniels? Okay, you trash. That was a bad game by you. Kellen Moore, you can't make no kind of adjustments for tiny hands? Okay, I'm mad at you. Nick Sirianni, you out there cheering, you ain't got nothing else to do. You can't count 12 men on the field and call a timeout, bro? That's on you. You went 4-4 in the fourth quarter, but you were scared to death to have Kenny Pickett do a touch plus. He can't do a QB sneak, bro. You can't go 4-1 for a QB sneak for the second, third quarter. Embarrassing coach by you. And what is your record without Jalen Hurts, Sirianni? And Howie have said QB factory, right? What a QB factory is owned for when Jalen's out. So who's there? I don't know. But you got Kenny Pickett. Oh, first round pick. Now, Joe Giglio? Pickett is trash. I watched for 2 years. Tanner McKee would have won that game. I don't care what you say. A dude named Doug Dynasty won for Pittsburgh. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say about Kenny Pickett. He sucks. I know he sucks. Guaranteed he sucks. And yes, I know that's when he dropped that ball, so it'll take a while. But Kenny Pickett sucks. And Todd will give you all the math about it. And Hugh,
yes.
In week 11-47, I love you. I respect every down you done played. But listen, a defense is luxury. I don't hear nothing out of your mouth about no dang gum defense today. And don't you invoke the fact that you played, because you've been telling me all year.
You got a good point, man.
So I'm not taking no respect out of anything you did. And I saw you down there in Atlanta shaking it for Santa Claus. Don't you bring that stuff up here. Get yourself focused.
And
let me calm down.
First of all, he had a picture of a Santa Claus dancing, and they tried to say it was me.
Was it?
That's you.
Allegedly.
You can't prove it.
And see Hugh taking it down there in Atlanta. Don't you bring that stuff up here, Hugh.
I can invoke my playing days, even though I didn't think defense was that important.
Look,
I can.
He's back. He's a football guy again.
It's a luxury. Oh, yeah, stop, Hugh. I got some lemon pepper wings in the back of the video. Let me tell you my holiday message so I can get out of here, okay? Now, right now is the time of year where people try to tell you forgiveness and let people back in your lives. Don't you do it. Love the people that love you. The people you don't cut off, keep them cut off, player. Don't get weak now. Stay strong, stay petty, and love the ones you love. Okay? Merry Christmas to everybody. I'll talk to y'all. And Hugh Douglas, you shut your mammy jammy mouth. Defense is a luxury, and Kenny Pickett sucks. I'll talk to y'all.
Merry Christmas, Black Gritty. Good fall car. This segment sponsored by McGurk's Bubba Grill.
Y'all getting all personal.
Yep, McGurk's Warriorsford is opening a new location. Another one coming soon to Langhorne. If you're looking for a great spot to watch the game, make it McGurk's. Yeah, I mean, you had to know that was coming here today.
No, I'm just saying, man.
Strong
I got
on the defense.
I'm just saying. I'm just telling you what I see.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job. I analyze stuff. And the defense, they gave up 36 points.
That's fact.
Sounds like a necessity.
That's what we've been trying to tell you.
If you're
going to
sit here and tell me that the defense is the biggest reason they lost, then you got to drop the luxury take. I mean, you can't have it both ways, man.
I ain't got to drop nothing. It fits my narrative for the day. What are you talking about? Why can't I change mine? Everybody else gets to change their narrative. I can't change mine and be the defender that I once was.
Nope. Unlike how today. Today, he remembered who he was. Today, he woke up and said, I used to be Hugh Douglas.
He's a shell of himself.
He's like an old boxer goes out there one last time. I can still do it.
I could have been a contender.
All right, 215-592-9494. Your chance to react with us next. What's the biggest reason the Eagles lost the game yesterday? Is it as simple as Jalen went down, or the other factors, the defense, the special teams, the discipline? It all was not good enough yesterday. We're off the rest of the week, so we got to do a kiss the baby coming up. Plus, the Phillies, they actually made a move. Yeah, not just Max Kepler. The Phillies acquired yesterday, right as the Eagles were about to start, one of baseball's most intriguing young pitchers. We'll talk about it. 215-592-9494 Midday Show right here, Sports Radio 94 WIP.